Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission.
Hey, folks, we are going to continue our conversation on parenting this week. Had a great time with Seth and Denise last week. Learned a lot, just so good to hear from them, but also wanted to add some things from our own perspective, practical examples, life.
Yeah, it's been fun for us to continue to talk about parenting and how our parenting has changed over the years.
Yeah.
So we thought it would be good to share some of that with you all. And we have kids over playing at a friend's house on Saturday afternoon. So we have a nice, quiet couple hours.
That's right.
So we want to share with our listeners specifically, I think, ways God has been working in our hearts to help us grow in areas of emotional health and intimacy in our marriage, kind of understanding more of our insecurities and fears and how to deal with those.
Yep.
And it's been affecting our parenting.
Yeah.
So I think that's basically what we want to talk about today, things that we have learned, ways that we're changing our parenting, kind of specifically in terms of strengthening our love relationships with our kids, having that strong family bond.
Right. Dealing with emotions.
Dealing with emotions.
Helping them see their hearts, that kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah. We have been meeting with a marriage and parenting counselor.
Definitely.
Which has been awesome. Great. We just decided we have... Well, a few months ago, we had time in our schedule due to a lot of lockdowns and things.
Yep.
And we thought it would be a great opportunity to just grow in that area ourselves. And a couple weeks ago, our counselor asked us, think about our kids and for each of them, how are we meeting their deep need to know deep, deep down how much we love them?
Right.
And that has also been stimulating a lot of thought and discussion for us.
Yeah, that's right. I think the counseling for ourselves, and even that, it's funny to talk about and think about counseling as we've explained that to some people that we know, right? That marriage counseling can sound like this serious thing. It's been great to have time to focus on it. I think we were caught in lockdown. Maybe we had a little more capacity to think through it, but just thinking specifically about how it applies to our kids as we're dealing with our own hearts and how does that, us dealing with our hearts, affect how we're dealing with our kids, but then just helping them to think about it also. It's been really insightful.
Yeah. Of course, we'll be talking a little bit generally to protect our kids.
Yeah.
But Jesse and I are both Enneagram 3s, so those achievers.
If you're into that sort of thing.
Right. We tend to be focused on productivity and hard work, probably not as naturally prone to talk about emotions. Or
probably
negative
not.
Emotions. that was putting it lightly.
Right, right.
And, well, I just remember when we first got married, the week after our honeymoon, we were in our cute little apartment. And
worst
I,
week ever.
Yeah, I know. It was
right
a little
after
bit.
Honeymoon.
Exactly.
Right.
I remember feeling sad about something that week and crying and realizing I couldn't cry in front of you. And knowing that didn't seem quite right, but it was just kind of an eye-opener to me.
Yeah.
So that's a picture, I think, for our listeners to kind of hear where we're coming from.
Right.
We don't naturally have a lot of negative emotions.
Or kind of allow those to come out.
Yeah. We tend to deal with those on our own instead of sharing them with each other and, and a lot of other people. And so that as well has been kind of a part of our journey. Also, I have been reading a few books on attachment styles. Basically, when it comes to our relationships with our parents and then also in our marriage, significant relationships in our lives, there tend to be four general attachment styles or ways of relating. And you can read about that if you're interested. But one of those is called the avoidant attachment style. And Jesse and I both clearly fall in that category. And these are people who tend to avoid negative emotions. They're very self-sufficient and tend to take care of our negative emotions on our own, which obviously would hinder our intimacy.
Right.
If we're not letting ourselves.
It's a barrier to relationship. You're always kind of closing some things off to people that you care about. I mean, especially between us.
Right. And it kind of shuts us off from giving each other comfort or assurance in those times. So we've been learning through our counseling mm-hmm. through a lot of these things yep. and growing. Thank yep. you, Lord. We are growing. But we're also realizing how it's affected our parenting.
Right.
I think when we first started having kids, kind of our number one principle in parenting was to teach our children immediate obedience.
Right.
Right?
Which is, when they're young, kind of a more natural thing, right? That
yes.
you're focusing on that, helping them to kind of train their hearts to be obedient to mom and dad
mm-hmm.
and just walking through that with them. As they get older, as kids get older, then it's time to start thinking about, hey, this isn't just kind of the simple obedience things anymore. We're dealing with real emotions, dealing with real desires that they have. They're becoming more of self-determiners. And so mm-hmm. just helping them walk through and helping us even kind of shepherd their hearts through that has become a much bigger deal for us.
Yeah, I think seeing our children's emotions yeah. come through, seeing that they need help mm-hmm. managing their emotions,
yeah.
whether it's anger, emotional like meltdowns,
right.
anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also seeing how at times we have probably been more prone to just kind of shut off their negative emotions.
Right. Yeah.
Like, if you're going to throw a fit and be really noisy, go to your room because
mm-hmm.
we're trying to have dinner
mm-hmm.
or we're trying to do our school day
mm-hmm.
instead of having empathy,
right.
patience and compassion
yeah.
and giving a hug and taking time
acknowledging
to validate that right. emotion and then deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the talk about emotions, I mean, so obviously Shani just shared a little bit about our own personalities, my own upbringing as well. I mean, emotions isn't like a immediately welcome topic for me, right? Thinking about emotions, there have been times in my life when I've been quick to downplay the importance of emotions, maybe even unintentionally, but that would be kind of my knee-jerk reaction, right? Let's not get touchy-feely. We don't need to go too far down those roads of emotions and whatnot. But I think it's important to clarify what we're talking about is really kids. We're talking about their hearts. When we're talking about emotions, we're talking about our hearts. And biblically, the heart is kind of the most important thing about a person, right? It's, if you look at how the Bible talks about our heart, it's the seat of personhood. It's the seat of your desires. It's the seat of your will. It's kind of the seat and the ground of really where your actions come from. We're framing this discussion about emotions and how to deal with them and where they come from and all that for ourselves and for our kids by talking about, it's the heart, right? When we're
yeah.
seeing emotions, it's the smoke from the fire of the heart that's inside of our kids. As we're learning ourselves more and more, we're trying to help them navigate what the Bible means by the heart, the center of who you are. And the Bible over and over talks about that, that that is so key to who we are as people. Genesis 6, 5 through 6 says, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart." So in those two verses, we see reference to man's heart, basically how the evil things he was doing was coming out of that seat of his personhood. But then how God, it says he was grieved to his heart for having made man, right? A lot of things we could talk about with that, but basically just drawing out the importance of the heart as the seat of who we are, both for people and for God. All through the Bible, that language just echoes throughout. Proverbs 4:23, familiar verse to many of us, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." All through the Psalms, I did a quick search as we were doing prep for this podcast. It was just littered with language of the heart all through the Psalms as well. Sermon on the Mount in the New Testament, Jesus speaking what's in our hearts. So you really can't, biblically speaking, overestimate the importance of the heart. The emotions we're experiencing and that our kids are experiencing are bubbling up out of what's going on in our hearts. And so what we have to do is not shy away from that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a part of discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of discipleship for ourselves. It's a part of discipleship for our kids. And so we're teaching them and showing them and how we interact with them and how we interact with their emotions, really also a part of how God interacts with us. A lot of things we've learned as well, just thinking through our own stories, mm-hmm. our interactions with our kids when they're little is doing a lot to set their perception of and understanding of God kind of for their whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, that's not absolutely determinative. Tons of people throughout history, even now, coming to Christ, have a good relationship with God on the basis of their relationship with Christ and have come out of broken families when they didn't
yep.
have that.
Yep.
And yet at the same time, we're seeing also how formative
mm-hmm.
your parents' influence can be even on your perception of God. And so if we're quick to dismiss their emotions, kind of forming a picture in their minds that, hey, God doesn't really want to deal with that stuff either.
Exactly.
He would really just rather you keep that to yourself.
Yes.
And he just wants to deal with kind of the bigger stuff.
Exactly.
Right? The obedience type
Which
stuff.
I think is what I am working through right now at the age of 41.
Yeah.
Is I'm learning
a
to
very
receive.
Young looking 41.
Thank you.
Very fit 41.
I'm learning to receive God's love and grace and not think that when I take all my negative emotions to God, I'm not being high maintenance. Yeah. He's not getting tired of
That's
me.
Right.
He wants me to. If you study the Psalms, God's design is that we take all of our negative emotions to him unfiltered.
That's right.
All of them.
That's right.
There's not a single emotion that we should keep to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so we want to...
There's been times just in the Psalms like that, it's so clear, so evident. It's just like... You can't hold anything back from him. I mean, David could easily be accused of being a whiner.
Right.
Right? And it looks like that.
Exactly.
He just didn't hold anything back.
Yep.
And so we want to...
I want my children to go into marriage knowing how to give and receive love.
Yeah.
Knowing how to give and receive comfort.
Yeah.
And if we're not teaching them that we want them to bring their negative emotions to us and we want to help them through those...
Right.
Then instead, they learn automatically, deal with those on your own.
Yeah.
Keep those to yourself. Mm-hmm. Those aren't for other people. Those are too difficult and messy. And then that's going to set them up to maybe struggle with having like real intimacy.
Yep.
That's not how God deals with us.
That's right.
God is gentle and lowly. Mm. God wants us to bring every emotion to him, and he never gets tired of it.
Yeah.
He can handle it.
That's right.
He's strong enough to handle it.
Away.
It doesn't stress him out.
Yeah. I think one thing to make clear, though, also, as we're talking about this, is we don't, in the midst of this, focusing on emotions, helping our kids deal with their emotions, we don't minimize sin in any way.
Right.
I mean, that is a key part of understanding and navigating this relationship with God as well. Understanding our own hearts is that our hearts are wicked. Is that when we see manifestations come out that aren't welcome, that are sinful, that we have to deal with that as sin. We don't deal with it, explain it away as, oh, you're just having a bad day. You're just being overly emotional.
Or you're just feeling angry.
That's right. And so we're just empathizing with a sin. We don't do that. We have to be very clear with our kids that, hey, we understand why you would feel that way. We understand why that has upset you so much. And yet, you can't respond in sin.
Right.
We actually think, and we've seen, giving them space to express their emotions also helps deal with the sin.
Absolutely.
If we can have that conversation about their emotions, then we can also deal with the sin that's come out and
Which
the root of it.
Which is what we all want.
That's right.
That is what I want.
Yeah.
That's what I want in our marriage.
Yep.
I want you to hear me out before you help me have solutions.
That's right.
Right? I think we could just start talking about a few examples.
Yeah.
Three common examples that we deal with significantly in our home and that I think others will deal with.
Yeah.
One is an emotional meltdown from a child. Mm-hmm. One is anger, blow-ups.
Yeah.
And the third is anxiety.
Yeah.
We're just going to talk about how these can look and maybe more helpful ways of dealing with them that will help our children to understand what's going on in their hearts. Mm-hmm. And learn how to deal with it in a healthy way that isn't sinful. Mm-hmm. So first of all, some kids who are perfectionistic can have emotional meltdowns. For instance, if they're drawing a picture and it doesn't turn out right, if they're writing something and they realize they didn't do something right and they have to erase a lot. Right. Now, when this happens at our house, my tendency would be to kind of minimize it. Mm-hmm. Maybe just almost shame the child, like...
Take that somewhere
this
else.
This is not worth throwing a fit over.
Yep.
If you're going to scream that loudly, you can just go to your room and come out when you're ready to come to be calm. Mm-hmm. But a better way to deal with it.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, we're still teaching self-control.
Sure.
Okay. We're not babying our kids. Mm-hmm. But to be able to put words for that child for what's going on in his or her heart. Mm-hmm. I understand it is frustrating when you're trying to do something and it doesn't turn out perfectly. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Right.
That's okay. Mm-hmm. But we all have to learn what to do when we're not perfect. None of us are perfect. Things are going to go wrong. Mm. Just because a drawing isn't perfect doesn't mean it isn't good. Mm. Just walking through some of those things. Because again, if we just send that child to their room mm-hmm. because they're being loud and right. crying Falling loudly yeah. and we don't like it, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
It's very inconvenient.
That's right.
And we're usually trying to do something else mm-hmm. like eat dinner or do our schoolwork mm-hmm. or have a meeting or something.
Right.
So when we send that child to their room, again, we're teaching them. Crying is for all alone in your bedroom.
Yep.
Negative emotions, yeah. you take care of on your own. Mm-hmm. And that is not healthy. It doesn't right. teach that child how to deal with them mm-hmm. or have even to have words for what they're feeling.
Yeah. That's right. Another example, pretty common, I think, in households is anger. You know, just outbursts of anger. This is somewhat related to meltdowns a little, but there'll be just be something that kind of trips. And so how do we help them control those outbursts? Our counselors, we were talking through this issue particularly, defined anger as a response to a goal being blocked. Seems like that's a pretty great definition, right? That something you desired got cut off and it's produced this anger in you. And so it can be a small response, like a sigh, an eye roll. Mm-hmm. We get a little more of those these days as kids are getting into adolescent age, but or it can be yelling, pushing, fighting with other siblings, right? So it's helpful to have our children be able to put words to what's the obstacle, what's mm-hmm. the thing that's being blocked, mm-hmm. and to help them, help us, help them like validate that feeling,
yeah,
right? Just get it out. Let's talk it through, and then teach them ways to calm down, mm-hmm. to just come off of that emotional high, that initial kind of snap response of anger.
Yeah, just as a side note there, there's a book called I'm Not Bad, I'm Mad. I'm not bad, I'm mad, yeah. okay? And it's just this little ebook workbook mm. that I'll mention. Yeah. It has simple little kid questions and activities mm. that help kids process their anger
yeah.
that you can do. You can spend 10 or 15 minutes over breakfast and just be proactive, helping kids understand what's happening when they get angry
yeah.
and helping them understand how to deal with it.
That's
because
right.
the more you talk about it as a family, the more kids are just prepared to understand what's happening mm. and know what they should do.
Yeah.
And it is so true. Every kid will have their own ways of dealing with
That's
it.
That's right.
So for some kids, that could be, okay, you need a 5-minute timeout and then we'll talk about this.
Yeah.
Sometimes for all of our kids, if they're just getting angry, mm-hmm. we will have them do like 20 jumping jacks, mm. 20 squats, 20 push-ups.
That's right.
Just to get some of that energy out.
Yeah.
That's helpful for all of us.
That's right. It's a real thing.
Sometimes they might just need to go like get a little cozy blanket or hold their cat or something to calm down.
Yep.
But that's really actually helpful.
And you're just teaching them acceptable ways to deal with that energy and that stress that builds up when you become angry, right?
Right.
There's got to be, in a lot of ways, a physical outlet.
Yes.
So let's have constructive, positive ways to do that instead of smacking your sibling, right?
Absolutely. Another example is anxiety. And for us, this has become more of an issue as our kids get older. And sometimes when you have a child who's really struggling with anxiety, it can become very tiring. And sometimes, like, we just as parents don't know what to do to help our kids. Yeah. And so we have pursued different resources and counseling, even just for that issue, for our kids at times. If you have a child who's dealing with anxiety, then you know this can affect your family's daily life,
yeah.
what your family does,
yep.
bedtime routine, because that's the common time to feel anxious and scared, and children's sleeping, which affects mm-hmm. parents' sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
So a few things that we have learned in dealing with anxiety. First of all, as hard as that season can be, I learned to be thankful for the opportunity to walk with my child through dealing with anxiety
yeah.
right beside her mm. instead of your child being off in college dealing with it
yeah.
apart from you.
That's right.
Because anxiety is a life skill every person has to learn, mm. like how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's great that we're forced to put the hard work in to yeah. teach our children those skills.
That's right.
I don't want to overlook in any way the need to pray for our kids
yeah.
and pray against spiritual warfare,
mm-hmm.
teach our kids to pray for themselves and pray over our children,
mm-hmm.
and doing the hard work of teaching our kids the skills of how to control your body and your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So in moments of panic and fear, the first step is we have to help our kids calm down.
Yeah.
So that includes like deep breathing, square breathing, or flower breathing, where they trace like a square or a flower on their leg while they inhale and exhale slowly. It's truly helpful. Helping children get back to the present. If they're panicked about something and afraid, then their minds are somewhere else.
Yeah.
They have to get back to the present. Mm-hmm. And so doing things like, okay, what are five things you see? Mm. What are four things that you hear? Three things you feel? Two things you taste or smell? That one can be a little different. And then one thing I always know, God is with me.
Yeah.
God is protecting me.
Yeah.
And memorizing and reciting scripture and truth in those moments. We had several short sentences of truth that we were saying nightly. Yeah. I mean, maybe for like more than a year.
Yeah.
Just things like, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. What do you know right now? I know that God is with me. I'm a loved child of God. I am safe. I am in a safe home with loving parents. I have nothing to fear. I can choose what I think about. Just those little truths. And how awesome that our kids are memorizing those that will help them for life. Something else just very practical. Sometimes listening to music or even listening to like Adventures in Odyssey episodes can just help get our kids' mind off of that fear, which is fine. Mm-hmm. It's okay. That's not like avoiding it.
Right.
I mean, obviously they need to face it sometimes, but it's just helpful sometimes to get our minds out of that loop.
That's right.
Yeah, break the loop
that's
in their mind.
Yeah.
And then there's many helpful books these days for kids, like journals and workbooks. We had done one by Sissy Goff. I think it was called like Smarter, Stronger, Braver. That was like a workbook for working through anxiety. Mm-hmm. So you can get things like that just give your kids something that will help them journal and write about what's causing their anxiety and understand their hearts better.
Yeah. So in all these things, these are just some practical examples of dealing with and helping our kids deal with their hearts. When these things are coming up, kind of again, that smoke from the fire that is our heart inside, they're actually opening up, like Shani was talking about, these incredible opportunities for us to come alongside our kids and to engage with them right when they're opening their hearts, right? We're seeing, we're being able to look through and see what's going on in their hearts through how that's coming out. Really what we're about is, as parents, is training them that their hearts would be shaped toward God. Right? That these emotions and the way that they deal with them, and even sometimes the way they fail to deal with them, are opportunities for us to help shape their hearts to understand His grace, to understand His love, to understand His righteousness, right? And ultimately to understand what He's done for us in Christ and how that applies to them and how He loves them even in their sin. That is the good news, right? That God loves sinners and that He wants to redeem us from it.
And I think just remembering in those moments when our kids are sad or mad or anxious, we need to show them and assure them we want them to bring it to us.
Yeah.
Because in their gut, they're wondering.
That's right.
They're wondering, am I too much for my parents?
Yep.
Is my mom getting tired of me dealing with this? Mm-hmm. Does she think I should be over this by now?
Right.
Sometimes they can feel ashamed of their anxiety. And so again, we're kind of representing God to them in that moment. Of course, sometimes we're tired and it's the middle of the night and we just want our kids to go to sleep, which is fine. But I try to tell my kids and assure them, thank you for letting me in on what's in your heart.
Yeah.
That is what I want.
That's right.
I don't want you to keep it to yourself. Mm-hmm. I want you to let me in. That is my honor.
Yep.
And so I want to assure my children of that
so
that they don't think that they're being too high maintenance or we can't handle it.
That's right.
Or we don't really want to hear it all.
Yeah. And let's be honest, we're all just grown up kids, right? I mean, these issues that we're talking about for our kids, of them deciding whether we really want to hear about it again, if they are too much for us. I mean, for crying out loud, we're middle aged and we're still dealing with those same thoughts towards God.
Exactly.
Right? Working through that every day.
Like, right.
God, here it is again. I'm confessing to you this sin again. Mm-hmm. Are you finally going to say, like, that's it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm done. It's been too much.
Mm-hmm.
And so we ourselves are dealing with that stuff, working with it as 40-year-olds.
Yep.
Right? And so this is just part of what it means to understand who God is and living for Him.
And it's okay. I think, if we have to fake it sometimes.
No.
I fake it probably almost daily when it comes to like, my finger hurts. I got a scratch. Yes.
Yeah, we get a lot of that. There is drama.
Instead of being rude or shaming your kid, just to say, oh, I'm so sorry. That's all you have to do. Mm-hmm. And just show them you care a tiny bit.
Yeah, just engage.
Before we close, let's just share a few ways to be proactive so that we're not just responding to kids' negative emotions, but proactively teaching healthy ways to emote and also promoting secure, loving relationships within our family.
Right.
You can have your kids journal regularly. Mm-hmm. We are able to incorporate that into our homeschooling right now, which has been convenient, but including some prompts that are just purely fun, but some that are like questions like, what are the three things that tend to make you angry the most? Mm-hmm. Or what is something you can do when you're angry? Just little things as you pay attention to your kids' lives of how you can help them write down some things going on in their hearts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think one of the biggest things is just creating a family environment where kids can have fun together, just kind of letting down with all the family together. And we can just kind of cut loose a little bit, let down. Just some times where we can sit and just be together. Kids, you know, fun is such a key part for kids of building relationships and getting to know people. And so the more that we can try to do that, I mean, you know, for some people, it's probably difficult to be the fun parents. For us, I feel like it just comes naturally.
Absolutely.
You know? We're such the fun parents. Ask our kids and our kids' friends.
But yeah, a great way to do it is through wrestling or tickling or a dance party, something that gets us all laughing and just gets everybody's defenses down. Mm-hmm. And when we were in the adoption process for one of our kids, something that I read, because I was very concerned about helping our new child bond with us, children bond with their parents and with each other, like siblings, through positive experiences together.
Yeah.
Through having fun together. Mm-hmm. And that is so simple, but I found it so profound. Mm. It's not necessarily through like heart-to-heart conversations even.
Right.
But when kids have consistent positive experiences with you, that's how they learn to trust you.
Yeah.
And each other.
Yeah.
So when
Shouldn't be hard, right? Just have fun.
But I mean, we all know we have to be intentional to do it.
Right.
When we are doing that, we're actually producing these invisible results in our kids' hearts that it's just building up the trust and the bonding.
I think another big thing as a part of that is just talking about it. I think Shaney has, she mentioned before, but taking our kids through some books, giving a vocabulary to them, helping shape a vocabulary and an openness in our family to just talk about these things, to know that they're out there, to know we can talk about emotions, to hear them talk about our emotions. Mm-hmm. Our kids have seen us, you know, struggle, seen us be sad and cry and things like that. And so just
get angry.
That's right. Yeah. They've seen that one for sure. But just helping them to see, hey, this is part of being a person.
Yeah.
Right. And hopefully we can be an example to them and how we're working through that as well.
Right. And seizing opportunities. Watching a sad movie is actually a pretty good opportunity. This just happened a few days ago when one of our kids, well, they were listening to an Adventures in Odyssey episode, and in it, the mother died.
Mm.
And so one of my kids came to me just like crying and hugging me.
Man.
It was quite precious.
Yeah.
But it was an opportunity to just talk about, sometimes we watch movies and it makes us realize we don't know what tomorrow holds.
Yeah.
And I've had the same thing happen where it makes me want to go hug my kids and tell them I'm so sorry for taking you for granted.
Yeah. Even though in most of our kids' imagined adventures, somehow they start out with the mom and dad being dead.
For
and
real.
They start out as like orphans.
That's how
or
they
something.
Play house.
I don't know what the deal is.
We're
there,
always dead.
Thanks, kids.
Yeah. And then I think just looking for some easy wins in terms of those positive experiences.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our friends here do pizza and movie on Friday night. Just having some of those times that are already in your schedule that truly require very little of us, but that promote family bonding and relaxing.
Just
having
regular rhythms.
Yes, having some hangout time on Saturdays.
Things the kids can depend on.
And physical touch.
Mm.
there's so much scientific evidence mm-hmm. on the positive benefits of physical touch yeah. for people. One source that I read said that children need at least 11 touches a day.
11.
That means all throughout our day, we should just be looking for little ways to give them loving and playful touch. Mm. I think that is just so helpful. I can see with our own kids how that yeah. helps them.
Yeah, definitely.
Whether it's wrestling and tickling mm-hmm. or hugs or squeezing their shoulders or yeah. squeezing their cheeks or, I mean, often it's playful.
Right.
But I can just see it makes them feel loved and secure. Mm-hmm. It's just like grounding yeah. for them.
Yeah.
I think as we wrap up, I would like to share a few resources with you because I personally don't like going and looking at podcast episode notes. I like it when they tell it to me right in the episode. Yeah. So I'm going to do that for you all.
Do it.
Adam Young is a counselor. He has a website, Adam Young Counseling. And on his website, he has a free resource called The Big Six. Six things every child needs from their parents. Mm. This is so good and helpful. It's very much focused on their emotional needs. And he also has a couple podcast episodes on this topic. His podcast is called The Place We Find Ourselves Podcast. His podcast is mainly about like trauma, dealing with trauma. Mm-hmm. But if you just look at all the episodes, he has some that are on children needs
yeah,
that have been very good, very helpful for me. Paul David Tripp, his book, Parenting, 14 Gospel Principles That Can Radically Change Your Family, is so wonderful in helping parents deal with our own sinful hearts.
Yep.
And a book that Jesse and I, well, I've been going through it and I verbally process it out loud to Jesse. Mm. It's called How We Love.
Yeah.
And it's by Mylan and Kay Yurkovich. And there is actually a marriage version of this and a parenting version, which is so helpful. I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
And Give Them Grace by Elise Fitzpatrick, another excellent book on how to show and teach your kids gospel grace just in the middle of everyday life.
Yeah.
And lastly, The Connected Child by Karen Purvis is a book that is specifically about helping children attach with their parents. It's more focused on adoptive kids, but it's helpful for all families. I hope that this has been helpful for you all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just the journey that we are all on as parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like we ever figure it out. We're all just figuring it out along the way. Just like we talked about earlier, we're figuring it out for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Even we feel like at this kind of late stage in life comparatively, but just thinking about dealing with our hearts and pointing our hearts towards Christ, that is the work that God's given to us.
Yes. And I kind of think about it as like if our parenting is this jar and we're only doing like 75% of what we should.
Yeah.
That's just the daily prayer. God, you make up where we're lacking.
Yeah.
You supernaturally just fill up the rest of this jar.
That's right.
And provide for all of our kids' needs. So we truly, truly believe that prayer is an important parenting strategy. And we need to make all of our efforts, but prayer can do so much more.
Yeah. You know, basically raising your kids is kind of a specialized category of discipleship. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really intense for us. It's obviously the one that we probably care about the most because it's our own kids. We always talk about with our work here, prayer is the greater work and helping people to understand our stewardship and our responsibility, but also in the midst of that work, disciple making, wherever it is, but how much more influential, how much more crucial it is that God just show up and do his work.
Yeah.
And ultimately that is what it comes down to, right? It's just God has to do that work. He's got to show up and he's got to be the one that helps us and changes their hearts.
Yep. Amen.
Good.
All right. Thanks, friends. We'll see you in a couple weeks.